Hey everyone, welcome to the Small Screen Couch Commentary Podcast, where we watch your favorite TV shows, give you our thoughts, and ask for yours. I'm Alex.
And I'm Billy. We're excited to watch and rewatch the best TV shows from start to finish and hope you're ready to take the ride along with us.
We'll talk about the best characters and their stories, reveal some hidden gems, and look for you to do the same.
From sci-fi to comedy, drama to anime, we've got it all covered. So grab your favorite snack and we'll see you on the couch.
Alrighty, Couch Crew, welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of The Boys, Small Screen Couch Commentary. Another episode here that was kind of just like setting things up, but also marking the halfway point.
And we did have some action.
We did. But
got some plot twists, got some twists and turns.
Yep. But once again, I wanted to watch more.
Yeah.
And I should have, but I didn't.
Cuz you're here for the ride.
I am. It is, you know, kind of fun. Just I do miss
living out your younger days.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, back in the day when you watched TV before streaming, you know, you had to wait a week for an episode. And a lot of the streaming services are kind of going back to that model. Obviously with The Boys season 4, they're going to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the anticipation, the build up. Like, obviously the streaming services, they're doing it because it's a cash grab. It's like, oh, if we can have people subscribe for longer, that's more money for us.
Right, exactly. You do a bingeable show, they can watch it in two nights and then cancel a subscription.
Right.
But
I do kind of like just week to week going back and just watching, you know, an episode or two here and there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember the days of, you know, it was Thursday night or maybe it was Tuesday. Who knows? Supernatural. I'd be like, I got to get downstairs. 8 o'clock, Supernatural's on. I'm not going to lie to you. Big One Tree Hill fan. I would do that every week. You know, Lost. There was a point where I would watch Lost every week.
Dude, Lost? I was having, like, Lost parties. Like, I would have a bunch of people over to my house and we would watch Lost.
I would have a bunch of dudes over and we'd watch One Tree Hill.
I never watched One Tree Hill.
Great show.
Never did. Isn't it like a teen drama, right?
Yeah, think of the OC type idea.
Or is it like young adults?
It's a teen drama. Okay. And then it turned to young adults as they got older. But it started off, I love basketball. It was a big basketball thing. So I got into it. And then I was just, you know, attached to the characters.
Well, what were you snacking on during this episode?
A bowl of cereal.
Ooh, what cereal?
It was just off-brand Honey Nut Cheerios.
You know what? Not bad.
Aldi's
not
bad. Brand. So it was just like the same thing, bro.
Yeah, pretty much. I wouldn't be surprised if whatever company's General Mills, whatever, is just putting it in the same bag and then just a different box.
Put it in the, yeah. Here's your Aldi's brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your boy was actually getting down on some good old-fashioned popcorn. I enjoy popcorn, man.
Yeah, popcorn's great. Now you go to town on popcorn.
Yeah. I'm the guy that, like, when I go to the movie theater, I usually get the bucket and then
the bottomless bucket.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, when the movie's over, I don't go and throw my bucket away.
I go and I get
another thing of popcorn. I take it home.
See, here's the thing. If I get popcorn at a movie theater, I get the bag. I can't even finish that popcorn. I go to the movie with Alex probably about 3 or 4 times. We've gone to see movies together.
Way more than
you think. More than that?
Yes.
Are we good friends?
We might be.
We
probably saw 3 movies last year.
Maybe.
We've seen way more than 3 movies together.
But, yeah, he goes to town on the popcorn. He gets the bucket, like he says, and he's eating it the whole time. I don't know how he does it. It's an impressive feat to finish a bucket of popcorn on your own.
It's one of those childhood memory things. Like, my dad would always get popcorn. Like, even if we went to dinner before we went to the movies, like, he would get popcorn no matter what.
Yeah.
And I loved going to the movies with my dad.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was just always fun to do that. And, you know, if it was the whole family, like, he would get the big bucket and then, like, split it between us all.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
My dad would do he'd have the bag and he'd just lean it over and you could pick a few every so often.
Yeah, my mom would bring, like little containers. And
that's smart.
Split it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, we had a Christmas Eve. Every Christmas Eve we'd go see a movie with my dad. Pretty cool.
We would do that on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Small world.
It is.
What was your rating then for this episode?
8.5.
Okay.
A little better than the last one, but still not crazy better.
I went 8.5 as well.
Oh. Second or third time we got the same score?
Maybe. Yeah. There were just a lot of, like, kind of big moments in this episode. There were, like, at least 3 of them that I'm just like, man, this, like...
And there are at least
this,
2...
It's starting to get wild.
There were at least 2 oh shit moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, it was a good episode, and I love the way it starts off with that weird funky song that Soulja Boy singing.
What song is it?
I don't know. It was on. It's MM is watching it. It's an old music show called Solid Gold, and it's featuring Soulja Boy, and he's just like, too shy to get down to the parking lot. And it keeps going. And then he's like talking about aliens and talking about getting high and talking about eating cars. You could eat a Cadillac. And I'm like,
and the thing is, like, he's singing this song, but he's not a good singer.
Don't hate on my boy Jensen like that.
Oh, come on.
Well, he's not supposed to be singing it anyway.
Right. I know. He's not but I'm just saying.
No, he's definitely not.
He's not performing this song well.
No, definitely not. Jensen, you are a good singer. I know it.
I'm not meaning in real life. I'm meaning his character in this show.
Go Dean Winchester.
Calm it down.
On Alex for me, all right? But you're like, who's Dean Winchester? But anyway, yeah. So this actually makes MM have a flashback when he was watching with his family, and he gets real pissed off. He's not very happy.
Yeah, I mean, MM, he's got an axe to grind here for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And something tells me I want whatever ends up happening with Soulja Boy and with, I don't want to get into it right now because there's obviously, you know, stuff that happens with Soulja Boy here, but I just hope in the long run that MM gets his due.
You always want MM to get his due. Yeah, too good of a dude.
He is, man. And you know, it's even more relevant in this particular episode as to why MM is part of the team and why he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
So let's get into the rest of stuff that goes down here.
All right, just keep following along with the show.
Yeah.
So Huey and Billy are actually talking, and we glazed over it last episode, but at the end of the episode, Billy Butcher throws up green liquid all over Huey.
Yeah.
And so Huey's just like, are you on Compound V? And he's like, no, mate, I'm not on Compound V. And it turns out he does finally give in, and it's like, I'm on V24. It lasts for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so he says, I had to use it to take down Gunpowder. I wouldn't be able to win that fight if I didn't have it. So they have their conversation going on about it. Obviously, Huey's kind of against it, but not really. He's in a weird spot.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if this is the scene or later. No, it's later. So we'll wait till later. Yeah. But he knows about it. But he's the only one on the team that knows about it.
MM doesn't know. And Frenchie doesn't know. Kimiko certainly doesn't know either. And I don't know why, but I feel as though Billy taking the V24 should have more of, like, I don't know, an impact. It's weird to me how he hates Supes,
mm-hmm.
right? And we've gone through three episodes now since he first took it, and I feel like there should be more of an internal struggle with him. He's turned into the thing that he hates the most,
yeah.
And he's seemingly like okay with it, or he's not struggling. Like, I feel like he should be having more of a conflict, an internal conflict. He's not.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Do you think maybe he's like saying it's in his mind it's okay because it's only for 24 hours? He's not really a soup, or do you think maybe down the road he does have this internal conflict?
I mean, I think he should.
Yeah.
Because even though it's only a 24-hour thing, clearly he's throwing up. He's having some after effects and whatever. Who knows what long-term effects it might have moving forward. Compound V is not a stable drug. It's pretty clear.
And V24, Lord knows how unstable that is.
Right, right. Yeah. And like when Stan Edgar was trying to sell it on to the government, I'm pretty sure he had even like admitted like, something along the lines of like they've worked most of the bugs out.
Yeah, they're still in the testing phase. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So I don't know why, but I just feel like Billy needs to have more of a conflict here with this situation, and the fact that he's maybe not necessarily okay, but not, you know, struggling more with it kind of irks me a little bit.
Okay,
rubs me the wrong way.
I get that.
I feel like Billy's always just been so gung ho on hating Supes. Clearly, even last episode, whether it was as a protective measure or not, he tells Ryan like he doesn't want to see him anymore.
Yeah. I think that's part of it, right? I think he knows he's doing something super over the top to get what he needs to get done. And that is taking the V24. So he's like, no, and he's not the same person. He's more dangerous, you know? I don't know.
Either way. But now Huey knows. And so
yeah, so that comes to play at some point. But after this situation, we actually get a glimpse of Homelander on the Cameron Coleman hour again.
Yeah, this is like the Tucker Carlson-esque like type show.
Yeah.
You know, very conservative, like news media type show.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because he's bringing up his frustration with the mainstream media to this guy who's probably on the mainstream media, but this guy just, all he can do is really suck up to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Homelander, and you're just a human. Like,
yeah.
He could snap your neck like a twig.
You're just like, oh, yeah, you're right. You're great. That's, man, I can't believe they lied to us, but we're here to tell the truth, you know?
Are you, though?
And because of this whole Homelander thing, him getting a little more open about things, Stan Egger decides to visit Victoria Newman, who now we know is, like, quote-unquote, an adopted daughter.
Yeah, he very much has, like, this weird, you're my adoptive daughter type situation, but I've still, they haven't really explained or fleshed out too much as to, like, why he decided to adopt her.
Yeah, which this episode kind of goes into it a little bit. But yeah, so he visits and he basically, she's surprised. Like, you don't ever just show up unannounced.
Yeah. And so there's always a reason why you're showing up and you're always planning things out.
Yeah.
But this was just very out of the blue. And he basically tells her, like, hey, I need you to kind of do something about Homelander here.
Yeah. And basically, like, wants to fine him, just small fines, FCC fines, just to remind him, hey, you're not in charge.
Yeah. So remind him who the real boss is here.
So,
which
she gets scared.
Well, yeah, because she knows how crazy Homelander is, and she doesn't want to get on his bad side. He's like, she's on his bad side as far as like a, from a political standpoint or whatever, but she doesn't want to piss him off.
Yeah.
So I would be afraid too. Now, she also has a young daughter. Trying to remember her name.
Don't remember the name. Oh, yeah.
It'll come to me in a second.
Will it?
But she wants to protect her daughter as well, obviously, here.
Yeah.
It's not just that she's scared for herself. She's scared for her daughter.
Yeah. And Stan Egger is like trying to say, like, trust me, that's in my mind, too.
Yeah.
This is part of why I want this done.
Right.
Because Homelander's batshit crazy and needs to be put back in his place. So she does agree, hesitantly, but she agrees.
Yeah. She's going to go through with this plan, even though she's afraid of what the outcome was or is. And I think the only reason that she did decide to go through with it, even just as hesitantly as she did, is because she's assuming that Stan's going to protect her.
Yeah. She thinks that he'll keep her safe.
He's been protecting her his whole life.
Yeah.
So,
we'll see. But yeah, so if you remember, Frenchie had a little run in with little Nina last episode, which gives Billy Butcher an idea. So they go to visit Nina. And go to acquire a little bit about maybe the weapon that was used against Soldier Boy that killed him.
Yeah. Frenchie does not want to go see Nina.
No, of course not. And nothing good's from seeing Nina is how he feels.
Well, and so Billy is thinking, okay, well, she's obviously a Russian gangster. She can maybe get us some information or something, you know, some connection with Russia here. And they go to see her, and Frenchie's not happy to be there at all.
No.
Clearly. And I feel kind of bad for him here because,
again, it's the puppy thing. He's a dog.
In the last episode, she said, like, you went from, like, Billy to, or I'm sorry, you went from me to Billy to, you know, the CIA and whatever, blah, blah, blah. You're kind of just being led here. And in this situation, like, Billy and Nina almost have, like, kind of like a dick measuring contest as to, like, who's the bigger, like, badass here.
Yeah.
But then they also kind of have Frenchie in the middle, and it's just a weird dynamic.
And sometimes it's like he's not even there, too.
Right. Well, but then on top of that, like, when they're talking, Frenchie's just kind of just, like, you know, back and forth looking. It's like, it's almost like a mom and dad are arguing type
thing.
Yeah,
for real. It really is. So he does try to convince her, like, hey, I don't want to get Cherie off the hook, because she's still not technically off the hook.
Yeah, he brings her a bag of money, says, hey, here's the money from the drugs that got stolen from her, and here's another $100K on top of that for your troubles.
Yeah, and she still is like, well, I lost nights of sleep because of this. You know, yeah, I still need more.
What am I going to get for my pain and suffering?
Yeah, which I thought Billy was going to fuck her. Again, I don't know why, but I feel like everybody needs to fuck in this show. But
it happens a lot.
Yeah. I thought it was like turning, but they do end up kicking Frenchie out to make a deal.
Yeah.
And to make a deal to again, free Cherie and get what they need. So that does come back to play. They end up, they do cut a deal.
Yeah, which this is also kind of a point in the episode where I also feel like Billy's getting back into
his old ways,
selfish mode.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about anybody else. I'm only doing what I want to do, and I'm only doing it because it's going to benefit me. And it's just weird because his whole motivation throughout the first two seasons were, I'm not saying justified, but the reason he was being selfish was to rescue his wife.
Yeah, which is a little more justified than just being selfish.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But now that Becca's dead, you know,
what's his driving force?
Right. What is his motivation for being a dick?
Yeah.
At least before, you could be like, okay, he's being a dick because he wants to get to his wife, and, you know, he's going to do whatever he can to make that happen. Now he's just being a dick to be a dick.
Yeah, because he's Billy Butcher. That's just how Billies are.
Yeah.
We're just dickheads. Yeah, so he does cut a deal, and we'll see later that they actually get away to get to Russia to get some more information. But before that happens, we actually have Huey chilling with Starlight. Starlight's showing him the video of Homelander announcing their relationship, the hashtag Homelight. And he's a little taken back, and he goes, okay, well, when does this air? And she, like, mentions it.
It's tonight.
Yeah, so they're on the same page. He's okay with it. Like, it's obviously not cool. Also note that he still has his cast on from when Kimiko broke his arm.
Yep.
And as they're talking, out of nowhere, Homelander starts talking.
Yeah, he pops in there, and Starlight's like, how'd you get in here?
I have a key.
You know.
He goes, Huey, your girlfriend's a sound sleeper. And it gets
very weird.
It gets really awkward and quiet for a second. He goes, I'm just fucking around. Like, he's like, nobody can joke anymore. You know, he keeps doing this.
But part of me also thinks he was not joking.
No, he's not joking. No.
He's definitely watching her sleep.
He's done it before.
Yeah. And if you're the kind of person that just will, like, watch somebody sleep for an extended period of time, what's your problem? Who hurt you?
Yeah.
Weird.
A lot of people, scientists hurt him.
Oh, that's you know, true. You know that I mean? Is true.
Yeah, so they have a conversation here, and Homelander kind of reassures Huey as a joke. He's like, this isn't real. It's just for TV. Don't you worry. Yeah. How good is she in bed? You know, and all this stuff. And he keeps going, I'm just joking, guys. I'm just joking.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, that's how Maeve and I just started too, you know, and it's just this weird thing. And at one point, it really gets Huey pissed off.
Dude, when that happened and Huey like basically like puffed up his chest to him.
Yeah.
I was kind of just like, yo, is it about to be a fight?
I was like, way to go, Huey. Like,
yeah.
I was proud of him. And then, of course, Starlight lights her eyes up and says, if you touch him, that's it. And he's kind of like, we've been through this before. It doesn't end well for you.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing they can really do. But I think there was a little bit of respect given to Huey, you know. I don't know from Starlight, from Homelander, but I see it like, you know, wow, he actually stepped forward a little bit to a guy who is untouchable, yeah. Unbeatable.
Yeah.
Even though you're just a weak human. So I really like the scene for the fact that you got to see Huey kind of be like, I'm still stepping up. Right. You know, he has changed. He's not as cowardice as he was before.
Yeah. I mean, he has his moments here and there, but he's definitely a more confident person. The most confident he's been ever
100%.
In the show.
It is also funny to note Homelander signs his cast and just takes up the whole cast with his signature.
Have you ever broken a bone and had a cast?
No, I've never broken a bone.
I haven't either, knock on wood. But when I was young, and I'd see a kid at school with a cast. And
you were jealous, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah, you were.
I was. I'd be like, man, I kind of want a cast so people could sign it and whatever.
Yeah, no, but, I get that.
Yeah.
I also was the kid who was like, man, I don't know nothing different about me. I want glasses. And now I'm like, fuck, I hate having glasses. So that's what you get. Be careful what you wish for. But this scene ends. He leaves and it's you know, it's weird and awkward, but he's not at the point where he wants to kill anybody right now.
Not
he's
yet.
More just fucking with people.
Yeah.
But we get to go to A-Train. He's actually discussing with Ashley Blue Hawk. And he's on set for something. We don't know what. He's getting ready to do like a show or...
We'll see
in a second. But he's telling Ashley about Blue Hawk, and she's like, well, you know, relax. This whole movement, this is why we're doing this commercial. But we don't worry about him. He's like a D-list or C-list or hero.
Yeah. If you recall, Blue Hawk was the like lower tier soup who was like kind of over patrolling urban and African-American communities. and arresting people. He curb stomped a guy. So it's this whole scene here. I was dying.
This was hilarious.
Well, because it very much so mimicked like a real world commercial.
Yeah. So he is doing a commercial for his energy drink. And it's very similar to the Pepsi commercial. Was it Kylie or Kendall?
It was
one of the Jenners.
Yeah, one of the Jenners.
Yeah, we don't keep
the
up
older
with the
Jenner sister.
We don't keep up with the Kardashians.
No, clearly.
But so he's doing a commercial for the energy drink inside the commercial. So he's doing his commercial, and all of a sudden he sees like a protest walking by.
Right.
And he's like, "What's going on there?" And it's like, "Oh, it's a protest for this." And he's like, "I'll be right back." And he goes, and you got police who are in their like SWAT gear ready to hold off the protesters. The protesters are getting closer to each other, and there's a whoosh.
And then out of nowhere, you see A-Train Dare just like arms out extended, like holding them both back
from each
other.
But
then he like just does this weird move and pulls out the energy drink and like slow-mo opens the can
and hands it to the SWAT, police officer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the police officer takes a sip. He has a big smile on his face. The protesters are drinking, and they're all just partying in the streets together, drinking this energy drink.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It was as ridiculous as the Real World commercial.
Oh, man, that Real World commercial was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
It was awful.
Pepsi was not understand what was going on in the world at the time.
No. They were not reading the room.
No, they were not. And I'll tell you what, Vault never reads the room.
No.
But what? Well done by the show. Like it was like spot on to what it felt like watching that Pepsi commercial.
I kind of want to see too, like how soon after that commercial was like airing was this episode? Because I wonder, like, did they know like that commercial was happening before it like got like all the controversy surrounding it? It'd be interesting.
It wasn't super long, so I remember it was still on my mind when that came up. Like I was like, it was clicked right away what they were copying, but I don't remember how long it was. But man, it was hilarious. Let's just put it that way. They really, I would like to put them side by side on a scene on a screen and see how they line up.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that for a TikTok or something. Oh, I mean, maybe. But anyway, so we're done with that. Huey is going to be taking a leave of absence from work. That way he can go to Russia with the boys. So Nina and Billy have actually cut a deal. And so they're going to Russia. And they get to go on a nice private jet too.
Dude,
so
I want to fly on a private jet.
Me too. I love the reference they make in this episode.
What was that?
So Frenchie's like, "I don't like this." And Billy goes, "Pretend you're an entourage."
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. But classic. Then, like, Frenchie, like, talks shit on Entourage.
Yeah, which though. I didn't like. Yeah.
Yeah. Entourage is, it's one of my favorite shows. It's probably a top five favorite show for me. Yeah. Movie, maybe not so much. But
what's funny is I didn't watch the show until after I watched the movie.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Because
the movie was
okay, but it made me really interested in these characters. I was like, well, I wonder how they got here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I definitely did watch the show, and I thought it was great, even like way after it was done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so as they're going to Russia, something seems off. Frenchie's not real happy about it. But while they're on the plane and everything, we go to Maeve and Starlight, have a conversation. Basically, Starlight's like, "We need to do something."
Yeah, well, you see Maeve in her apartment before Starlight gets there.
Oh yeah, she's training.
And yeah, she's training hard. She's got her sword. She's swinging around or whatever. And Starlight goes in and is like, "Hey, like, you know, Homelander is going off the rails. We really have to do something here." And Maeve basically tells her, you know, "Yeah, I know." And Starlight's like, "I thought you stopped training." And she's like, "Well, I basically make people see what I want to see, what they need to see or whatever."
What she wants them to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, "That's why I've been training. And I also haven't had a drink or done drugs or anything like that in like 4 months." So good for Maeve. Happy that she's, you know, back on track here. It sucks that it took this for that to happen for her.
But yeah, because Starlight admits, like, "Hey, there's a way we could get Homelander." And Maeve's like, "Well, yeah, who do you think gave Billy the information?"
Yeah, yeah.
And so they start to have a little conversation about it. And she's training so she can at least give them time to shoot Homelander, meaning she can fight him off for a little bit.
Yeah, well, and she even tells them, she's like, "You know what, and if worse comes to worse, if it doesn't work, at least I got a few licks in on him."
Exactly. You Which I kind of thought was a cool statement.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know I probably could very well die in this mission, but at least I'll have fucked him up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, which I thought was cool. Maeve's pretty badass.
I love Maeve. Yeah. I think she's a good character who has developed, probably, in my opinion, probably had the next most like development after Homelander, I think.
I think so. And like you see change in her big time. It's kind of like, now, not as good. Well, I don't know if I can say good anymore, but Jaime from Game of Thrones were like bad to good, but then that got ruined really bad.
Yeah, but let's not talk about the
But Maeve was on, you know, on the bad side of things. She had some good in her, and now she's like realizing, I got to do, but she was always lazy. She didn't want to do anything about it. She just kind of gave in to how the world was. And now she's kind of like, okay, I want to find a way to get this done.
Right.
And put the work in.
Yeah. So I'm excited that they're kind of, you know, kind of trying to come up with a plan here. Especially just because the scene with Maeve, Kimiko, and Starlight fighting Stormfront was a top five moment in the show.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping we get some other, like, girl team up, you know, type thing. Or even if it's not a girl team up thing, like
just fights just like that.
Yeah. Like if it's like a Homelander like 1v20 type shit.
Yo, I'd be down for that. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, so the one thing to take away from this too is at one point, since they kind of are now allied together, Maeve and Starlight, Starlight goes to Supersonic and is like, ask him, like, do you want in on this? If not, that's okay. It's dangerous. But if we can at least hold him off as best we can, it gives us a shot. And he's just straight away like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, he's a good dude. And he's there to help. But I also just wonder, too, if he kind of doesn't realize still how bad things are. Like, Starlight has obviously let him know about a bunch of stuff. But he hasn't really, like, seen things yet.
No, how so far where they really are.
Yeah, I think he doesn't know that he's, like, kind of getting in over his head a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still don't even know what his power is.
He's just, is it sound waves or something?
No.
Supersonic. Like, is he fast? No, he can't be fast.
It has to be something sound related because he has, like, his music video and his song and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, Google Supersonic's powers.
Well, let's see. I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah. Look that up while we move on here. So he does agree. He's like, yeah, I'll definitely do that for you. We're teaming up, homie. And at this point, back in Russia, they're at like a little like shed safe house type area, the boys are. And Billy admits the deal that they cut was they have to pretty much go assassinate a certain somebody in Russia. And the person who's supposed to do it is Kimiko. And Frenchie and Kimiko are not happy at all about this. They're sitting here and they fight against it for a little bit. But Billy says to him, like, you are my weapons. Like that, because she says, I'm not your weapon. And he goes, that's exactly what you are. And if last I checked, I lead this thing. You do this if I tell you to.
Got it here. So I don't think we ever see it in the show, but apparently Supersonic, he can clap his hands together to create a supersonic sound wave.
Lame.
Well,
strong, but lame. Yeah, so Kimiko finally agrees to go do this hit on this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, reluctantly, but they decide to go. I'm actually going to go do the hit first, and then we'll go back to another thing that happens.
Well, the hit was a crazy scene.
It was an awesome scene. First of all, Kimiko, beautiful girl.
Yeah. Well, she's like all dolled up here.
Yeah, she's dressed up. She has heels. It's even funny when she walks in the heels, she slips a little bit.
Probably never worn them before.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But she's got her makeup done. She's got a nice dress on. She's got the heels on. And she gets to this big old mansion.
Yeah. Huge, huge.
Yeah.
And it's this like Russian, I don't know, he's like a gangster, you know, whatever. Maybe he's just a rich guy.
Yeah.
But he's got just like a harem of girls there.
Yeah. Good word.
Yeah. And it's probably like at least five or six different girls. And you kind of are led to believe that he's like about to have like a sex party with them pretty much.
Yeah. He actually, when Kimiko comes in, he's like, oh, you're late, blah, blah, blah. It's okay. Take your choice. And he opens up this big old like cupboard and it's just superhero themed dildos, dude. You've got the Homelander one. He has names for them. I can't remember them all.
Yeah. Well, there was the Homelander one. There was the deep flounder pounder. There were. I think there was one for Black Noir. Maybe.
There was a Starlight one.
Yeah.
Which lit up, of course. And so yeah, so it's like take your choice there. And while she's looking, he goes back to another woman, and he's pretty much telling her like, you're gonna bend over and take this. And they're kind of getting sexual about it, like they're getting ready to do that.
Right.
And yeah, right before it happens,
boom! You just see a dildo come through this guy's mouth.
Yeah, from the backside.
Kimiko went and shoved it through the back of his head.
Yeah.
So immediately all these girls start freaking out.
They go high in a corner. There's blood all over that one chick.
Yeah.
And the guards are starting to fight it, like shoot at Kimiko, and Kimiko's just fucking them up.
Yeah. Well, at first she's kind of, you know, trying to dodge bullets and whatever, but then she just goes and she's, I think the one dude, she like snapped his neck immediately. Another guy she's like using as a human shield. I think at one point he gets shot up, but she makes quick work.
And the final guy, she throws a dildo at his head.
Right.
And then it starts.
Doesn't it like get him in the neck?
I think
it gets him in the jugular.
It gets him in the neck. And then he's just sitting there. And all of a sudden the dildo starts to vibrate.
Yeah, and blood squirting out every time it vibes. But yeah, so Kimiko finishes the hit here. But then she turns. And
she gets shot in the head.
Shot in the head, and she falls over. I'm not gonna lie, I screamed.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was like, no. I thought she was dead. She's like slumped over there. You got the bullet right in her skull. But then her healing factor kicks in. The bullet like plops out of her head. And yeah, it was one of the girls that shot her.
Yeah,
and she gets up. And
they're all girls, freaking
like,
out.
Scared then. She's like, whoa. She like puts the gun down. They're screaming. And Kimiko's trying to like signal to them like, hey, it's okay.
It's okay. Hands out. Like she's calming them down.
But yeah, they're just freaked out.
So my question to you here is, were those girls like they were into what was happening? I don't think they were like forced into this.
I think that they were probably getting forced into this. I think they probably shot Kimiko because they thought, well, they're next.
Okay.
That would be my guess here.
Okay. Also,
I don't think any, I shouldn't say I don't think any. I'm assuming more than likely those girls were probably either trafficked or, you know, something from this big Russian rich dude.
Gotcha.
And forcing them to do whatever they were going to do.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't really sure or not on that one, but.
Yeah. I think they just shot her out of like self-defense thinking, okay, well, you just killed all these guys. You're probably going to kill us next.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah, kind of. I thought that too, and I was like, "Well, maybe they were there on their own will," but
maybe
who
maybe.
Knows. But after this, we get a meeting of the seven, and they're all at the table, and it's a quick conversation. But then, when Homelander says you can leave the room, A-Train's like, "Well, I have something to bring up," and so Homelander's like, "Sure, go ahead."
Yeah, he brings up Blue Hawk, and Ashley, who's there, is annoyed by the fact that he brought up Blue Hawk. And Homelander's like, well, who is Blue Hawk? And he's like, oh, he's this superhero who has been, you know, patrolling in African-American communities, really like arresting and hurting, you know, African-Americans.
It would help you in that area. It would help us in that area.
Yeah, he goes, demographic. You know, if you did something about this, you know, it would maybe get you a few points with, you know, African-Americans in the country, like, you know, with your approval ratings or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's funny then because you see, so the Deep, he's at the table, but his wife is in the background.
With all the other like side people from Vault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she starts texting the Deep. And out of nowhere, then the Deep comes up and he goes, well, hey, like Homelander, maybe you shouldn't do anything about that, because if this guy is out there arresting criminals and fighting crime, can you really afford to like discipline this guy or whatever? If you should be,
it would, you know, lose a lot of points in the, you don't the wanna, demographic you've been just shot up in. Basically.
Yeah, you don't want to seem like you're soft on crime.
Yeah.
So Homelander's like, yeah, actually, that's a good point, Deep. Thank you. And he says to A-Train, like, no, we're not doing that. You know, whatever.
Yeah, we're not worrying about it.
The weird thing is, as the Deep was like telling Homelander this situation, they cut back to his wife at some point, and she's like mouthing the lines to him.
So she texts him the line.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, is she like kind of a mastermind here?
She is, dude. She's crazy.
I mean, I'm wondering where she goes. Like, does she have some situation where she's like becomes a bigger player here, or is it just she's just a crazy, you know, superhero wife?
I don't know. I actually don't know. So, I don't know. But I do love the fact that you see here, like you said in last season episode, she's the woman is now controlling the Deep. It's like to see that little flip, but it's also giving Deep a little bit too much more power. Like it slowly is giving that because after this, so one, Maeve leaves, puts her hand on A-Train, like, hey, you actually tried to do something good.
Right.
Sorry I didn't come through. But then they're out there in the hallway, and it's the Deep and A-Train, and the Deep, A-Train's.
This scene was hilarious.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
A-Train's pissed off, like saying some shit, and like, why would you do that, Deep, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, man, I'm just doing this. And they start fighting. He's like, why don't I tell Homelander you did this? And A-Train's like, I'll tell him you've got the, oh, you got the dirt on Stormfront.
Right.
And then A-Train's like, well, I'll tell him you got the freaking plane video from the black box.
Well, but it's so funny because like, they get like chest to chest and they're yelling at each other. But then when they like say, oh, I'm going to tell Homelander this, they like get right in each other's ears and start like whispering it.
Because they don't want Homelander to hear, but it looks so awkward and
funny.
The
way they shot that scene, it's like, and the camera work there, it was just really funny.
Yeah.
The way they did it. But then they kind of get into a little scuffle then.
Yeah, but the scuffle feels like little kids fighting, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's like two little brothers that were fighting over a toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Homelander shows up and he's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And he helps the Deep up, but doesn't help A-Train up, and just walks away with his arm around the Deep.
Well, and at this point too, A-Train kind of freaks out and like he's kind of hurt from their scuffle, because I think like they slammed each other into a wall and it like kind of broke.
Yeah, and we know the Deep has some strength, obviously.
Yeah.
A-Train's more about speed, so he doesn't have that right now.
But he gets pissed off then.
And actually wants to go after him.
Right, but Supersonic like holds him back. It kind of drags him away.
Yeah, and even at one point, he's like pulling him to the elevator, and A-Train's getting ready to pretty much say, fuck Homelander, and he's like, hey, watch your mouth. What if he hears you?
Yeah, and he's upset because he's like, man, after everything I've done for him, he chooses the Deep over me?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And he keeps going, the Deep? The Deep? Because the Deep is just a piece of shit. Like, he's nobody, really.
Right.
And so it's definitely disappointing to be like, okay, he's chosen over me, because he sucks at everything.
Yeah, but at this point, then also, Supersonic basically says, like, okay, well,
what if we could do something about it?
Yeah. And so he kind of, they allude to the fact that he's going to try and get A-Train in on whatever plan that him and Starlight and Maeve and everyone else are working on. So I'm not going to lie, when he said that, and A-Train kind of like had like a little smirk on his face. I was like, yo, like, is A-Train about to, like...
Like, what do you have in mind?
Yeah, I'm thinking he's going to make...
Here's that turn you've been waiting for.
Right.
Yeah.
This is exactly... Like, in the last episode, I'm, like, saying, okay, he has just been in this cycle where he hasn't really changed much, he hasn't really developed much, and I'm like, yo, this is about to be it. And I'm also thinking, like, in my head, man, there's going to be, like, a big fight. Like, we've seen A-Train... And his speed, and he showed it off in the race, and obviously the very first episode when he kills Robin, whatever. But the only time we've ever really seen him in a fight was that fight with Starlight.
Yeah.
And I thought that scene was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
And the way they did the sumo and everything. So I'm like, man, it would be dope then to finally see A-Train in, like, another fight, even if it ends up, like, potentially killing him. But I really like that, and I'm hoping that he does, you know, have another fight happen soon. But... We'll just have to wait and see.
Wait and find out. But at this point, the Deep has gone somewhere, and Homelander's back in the room, and Ashley's like, oh, fuck. And Homelander's like, what? Just tell me. And Ashley is letting Homelander know that Victoria Newman's having a press conference. And he's like, about what? And she's like, about you. And he's like, what about me? And she's like, I'm not sure. So I want to real quick touch on this. He says... Is your brain getting fucked by stupid?
Yeah, which,
to Ashley.
Weird thing to say. Like, I didn't really get that. Like, I understand he's trying to like insult or whatever, but it's just
weird insult.
Yeah,
but it comes back to play a little later because I think his name's Coleman from that Coleman Hour show.
The Tucker Carlson guy
is meeting with Ashley, and they're talking about some plan. And she's like, yeah, it was terribly written.
They're going over like talking points.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to that, though, in the scene with Homelander and Ashley, you know, he says that to her, and she's like kind of also confused by what he says. And he says, that's not rhetorical. I want you to answer me.
Yeah.
And so she like is like, I don't know what's going on, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, can you do like the one and only job that you have? And she like runs off.
Yeah.
But then when she's meeting with
Coleman,
she says the same thing to him.
Yeah. So they were talking about the writing for the show and she's like, it was terrible. And he's like, I wrote it. And it gets awkward. And he goes, let me ask you something, Coleman. He's like, what? She's like, is your brain getting fucked by stupid? And it's like real quiet. And she's like, that's not rhetorical.
Yeah.
And he answers, what if I said yes? And you could tell it's getting sexual. First of all, she fucked the director to the movie.
Yes.
Which was a hilarious scene. But then it gets real funny, awkward, sexual here. And she goes, well, then I have to punish you. And he's like, how would you punish me? And she pulls out a strap on.
Well, and it very much looks like the Homelander dildo.
It was the Homelander dildo. Yep. And he goes, yes, I am. My brain is getting fucked by stupid. Yeah. And I'm like, gosh, she's a freak.
Total freak.
Yeah.
But I'm also wondering here then, like, this guy, was he into it because he's bi? Is he into it because he's straight and just likes pegging? Is he into it because he's gay and he's just, I don't know. It just, I don't think it really matters, but it just made me wonder, like.
He's just into it, baby.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We don't judge here.
No. Not my cup of tea, but, you know, to each their own.
Have you tried that tea yet?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Gosh, no. Never would.
Yeah, it's not going to be for me. If you that's for you, then that's
hey,
cool.
Good. Enjoy that tea with a little sugar in it. But then, so we go on. We do have Victoria's press conference. And even Stan Edgar's there.
Yeah.
And he even kind of says good luck to her, like, quickly before he gets to his seat and all this.
Yeah.
And the Seven's watching it from the tower all together.
Well, and he says to her before she, like, goes up to the podium, he's like, remember, he deserves this. Or he says something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she goes up and she basically is saying, like, you know, Vought International is going to be investigated. And, you know, even the most powerful man at the company is someone who is not, you know, without fault or whatever. And you see Stan look at her and he's like, gives her like a head nod. And she hesitates for a little bit. And she just goes, and that is why we are going to be looking into, and you think she's about to say Homelander, and instead, she says, we're going to be looking into Stan Edgar for, you know, fraud and this and that, like all, yeah. Like a laundry list of like different charges and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of almost, I don't even know if it really zones out of the sound, but for me, I zoned out of what she was saying and just like focused on Stan Edgar.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they actually did that in the show. I just did it.
No, that definitely just happened in your head.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I didn't even know the list.
Needless to say, Stan is shocked.
Oh, yeah. But he's still calm. He's wild.
He's shocked, but like an internal shock. You don't see him like his mouth doesn't drop or whatever. But like the whole crowd there, then they're just like, oh, my gosh, whatever. They start snapping pictures and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
His security's like, we got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. And so she's trying to leave the area. He's trying to leave the area, and he walks up to her, and he just says, like, why?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, really, you thought you were protecting me, but
I've been protecting
you your whole life.
Yeah, this whole time. And I think she also needs to protect her daughter. You know, I don't know if she says that, but that's a big thing. But, yeah.
I think she does mention it. Yeah,
okay.
She mentions that she had Zoe.
Got
is
it.
Is that her name? I think it is. Yeah. She says she has to protect Zoe, her daughter. So Stan, you know, he leaves there, and it's funny then because at the tower, they're all looking, and everyone there is kind of like, whoa, that came out of nowhere.
And then look at Homelander, like, what have you done?
Yeah.
And he's like, I set things straight. This is we run the company. He doesn't run the company.
Yeah, he said, this is a superhero company, always has been, you know, whatever. And he essentially now pretty much has supplanted Mr. Edgar. And I'm wondering here then too, like, did he pretty much like then, do you think he promoted Ashley into his role? Because she was Madeline.
Yeah.
Now is she going to be the new Stan?
I think so, because the scene where she talks to Coleman or somebody like that.
Yeah, she's like in a much bigger, nicer office.
It's after this scene, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like a small, quick scene. So I think so, yeah. I think she got promoted because I guess she's next in line. I don't
Meteoric
know.
Meteoric Rise, if I ever saw one.
What are you talking about? Ashley works hard.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, the whole team, when Homelander says, like, he set things straight, they all kind of look at each other, and even Supersonic gives A-Train a look, and A-Train kind of nods his head.
Yeah, because they're like, okay, well, yeah, we really got to put whatever plan we have in gear here. So it's funny because when Homelander is, and I said it in the last episode, he is planning ahead and is 2-3 moves ahead of a lot of people who traditionally or historically throughout the show are, you know, maybe smarter than him supposedly or more powerful than him or whatever, but he is putting the dominoes up and knocking them down.
He is. He's definitely playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's not just, like you said, using his strength. He's using everything he has, his arsenal. And so we'll get to, I'm going to say, let's go ahead and say why Victoria did this, really. Homelander shows up to Victoria's house, and it's a little weird at first, but basically...
Well, she hears like a whoosh outside.
Yeah.
A window. And she goes to the window and is like looking around.
And he's in the bathroom.
Yeah. And he's just already in her house.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering too, like, how fast is Homelander?
Gotta be pretty fast.
You know, is he A-Train level fast? Because in DC, there's always like a debate of who's faster, the Flash or Superman.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're either like neck and neck, or Superman's like a little bit slower than him, maybe. So I'm wondering here, like, is Homelander that fast that he whooshed into her bathroom, like from that window, and she didn't even see him?
Yeah, I guess he is, right?
Maybe.
But yeah, he made some smart comments and jokes about stuff. But basically what you find out, she's just like, where is it? And she made a deal.
Yeah, he gives her a little baggie. And it's funny because he goes, her original recipe with all 11 herbs and spices.
After he has like found that his ratings went up when he told the truth of how he felt, he's just more cocky and makes more jokes.
Yeah.
And just doesn't care.
Not at all.
It's
Not
hilarious.
But yeah, she opens up the bag, and it was a syringe with the OG version of Compound
the
V.
The blue Compound V.
Yeah. And so at first I wasn't really like picking up like, why did she ask him for Compound V? Like, she already has powers. Like, is she going to use it kind of like A-Train did to kind of super self up? Like, whatever. And it was funny too, because in this scene, when he's walking up to her, he says to her, like, hey, you gonna try and pop my head? Go ahead, give it a whirl. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Which I thought for sure, if she was popping all the other people's heads so easily, like, I thought she could do it to Homelander. Like, maybe she'd have to like strain herself to do it.
Yeah.
But I thought, okay, if anybody could do something to him, maybe it's her. But he didn't seem to care if she actually tried.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like he wanted her to.
To see if it worked.
Right, right. And now, mind you, up until this point, before whatever situation happened with her, he didn't know necessarily that she was a soup. He tells her that he found out from, you know, the files that he stole from Stan, because allegedly he makes it seem to her like he was planning on, or he had like a contingency plan to like kind of double cross her, essentially.
Yeah.
And she's not convinced. She's like, no, these aren't Stan's files or whatever. And Homelander's like, yes, they are. And that's when he tells her, like, I saw this and I found out you're a soup. And I just want to let you know, like, I'm glad that you chose your own people.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of just like, it gave kind of Stormfront like Nazi vibes in a way. Whereas Stormfront wasn't necessarily just wanting soups. She wanted just, you know, Anglo white people to like run the world or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Homelander, he wants the same thing, but he wants soups. Yeah, he's like kind of racist and whatever, so he doesn't necessarily want just white people, but he is very much on board with like soups. Almost, you know what it feels like too, a little bit? Kind of like Magneto.
Oh, actually, yeah.
Because Magneto is all like, yo, like mutants.
Mutants only.
Yeah, mutants only, right.
Yeah, no, I agree. So here's what I think. I think we finish up Victoria's story.
Yeah.
We go back to the boys, then we finish with the last Homelander thing.
Let's do it.
All right. So Victoria Newman does have Compound V. She let her daughter know that she's going to do this. It wasn't like a shock to her daughter. She's like, hey, I'm going to shoot you up.
Yeah.
And her daughter and her are talking, and her daughter Zoe's like, I'm scared. And she's like, I know, but it's to make you safe. It's to protect you.
Yeah.
So she does make the syringe out of the Compound V, and she's holding her daughter, and she has her, like, you lay on her back, and I guess you inject in your back.
Yeah, it, like, went into her spine, pretty much.
And when she does it, dude, the muscles contract, and you see her spine and everything, and you hear, like, the crinkling of her bones.
Yeah.
And she's just screaming in pain. And Victoria, like, feels bad. She's holding her, but she feels it's the only way to keep her daughter safe.
I'm wondering what power she ends up
getting. That's what I'm thinking. Like, what does she get?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does she get the same thing as her mom, you think?
I don't think so. I think it'll be something different.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. But it is a kind of a sad scene to realize, like, the only way she feels like her daughter is going to be safe is if she has some kind of superhero power.
I always wonder, too, like, when somebody takes Compound V or V24, like, how does their superpower get chosen? Because not all supes are, like, bulletproof, or not all of them are super strong. Like, somebody like Mesmer, all he could do was read people's minds when he touched them. He wasn't strong. He wasn't fast. He wasn't, like, bulletproof or anything like that. So, like, how does their superpower get chosen? Because essentially it seems like Billy, when he takes V24, he's kind of like Homelander without the flight.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, he's bulletproof.
Laser strong, eyes.
He's got the laser eyes. So he can do kind of what Homelander does, except not fly.
Yeah, I kind of just mix it with, like, DNA and personality for some reason. Maybe. But when you're a baby, what personality do you have? So I don't know.
True, true, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question, Alex. Really good question.
Always have them. It's the only kind of questions I got.
I don't know, dude. I don't know about all that. But anyway, so let's go back to the boys. They're still in Russia. Kimiko is not happy with what she had to do. She explains to Frenchie, one, how these women were afraid of her, even though she tried to save them. She didn't like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't like working for Billy. She says Billy's just like, you know,
Rising Sun, or not Rising Sun.
Yeah, but you know, the,
it's not Rising Sun. It's whatever the terrorist organization that kidnapped her and her brother.
And like Vought and everything. And she's like, so let's just, me and, now she says, let's me and you just run away.
Yeah.
Like Cherie did. But he does agree with Kimiko. He's like, yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind that, because they talk about just hanging out together, being together all the time, and having, just enjoying life and dancing. I think they even mentioned again too. But
yeah, and he basically tells her, like, we'll go to Marseille, I think it is.
Yeah, because she picks it. And
but he says, like, Huey, he's worried about, he says Billy can lick his asshole.
Yeah.
But then he says, but, you know, Huey and MM, like, they need us. We're going to finish this mission, and
then we'll
leave.
And they're both super happy about it. I think she even gives him a big old hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really sweet. I love Frenchie. I mean, yeah, Frenchie and Kimiko. So I would actually, as much as I would hate Frenchie to not be on the show, I would love for those two to go have their life together somewhere.
Yeah. No, it'd be a nice happy ending for them.
Yeah. But it's the boys, so chances are no happy ending. So they decide, yeah, we'll do this one last mission for them. So we flash forward. They're at this military compound in Russia, and they're trying to, like, cut fuses to turn the electricity off, and it's just not working.
Yeah,
and Mem's, like, just getting pissed off.
Billy's like snipping one wire by one wire, and he's like looking to see, like, does the power go off? And then Mem's like, dude, you know, come on, like, gives him a face. And then Billy just picks up his trusty crowbar
and just starts smacking it.
Yeah, which I'm thinking, okay, like, why would you want to smack an electrical panel with a metal crowbar? Like, you gonna electrocute yourself, bro,
man.
But
it works.
And it's working. Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to rewind, actually, real quick. There is a moment where Billy is taking V24 the night before this mission.
Yeah.
Just in case shit hits the fan. He wants to make sure he has the powers in case things go wrong way. Huey catches him. And actually, Huey goes, let me take some. And Billy's like, no, you don't deserve this kind of
strong Dewey Cox vibes here.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, like, when Dewey Cox went, did you ever see that movie?
Oh, it's non-habit forming.
he's like, oh, I want to do this. He's like, no, you don't want this stuff.
I don't
want
to get addicted. And he's like, you don't get it. It's non-habit forming. Yeah. And he's like, all this kind of other stuff. But yeah, so Huey wants it, but Billy pretty much says, like, it's terrible for you. It could kill you. I deserve this. You don't. And it's actually a deep moment, but it's like, also Huey's like, he mentions, like, I was threatened by Homelander right in front of Starlight, and I could do nothing about it.
Yeah, and he even says, like, you know, she had to save me again.
His masculinity has been in question all season.
Right.
But Billy's like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was obviously the smart move, because in this scenario here, Billy's trying to kind of save him from himself a little bit. And we kind of see now, you know, Billy obviously still has that connection with Huey because he's his canary and he reminds him of his brother. I'm sure that was another reason why he was, you know, trying to protect him and whatever. And so that was nice. But, you know, again, I don't know. I just feel like Billy, he really needs to, there needs to be some conflict with the
it doesn't feel like there's any.
No.
Now there is a nice conversation that MM and Billy have. And
yes,
MM's kind of saying,
I do want to talk about
Billy,
this.
Why are you just like such a dick, basically, and a terrible person? And Billy's like, do you know why I picked you, MM? And he's like, I don't know. I was like a strong soldier. I knocked my leader out, blah, blah. Oh, and I also hated Vought.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, when we met with these people, I forget where, but he just says to him, like,
they said you were a strong leader.
They pretty much said it was the best person to work for. He cared about all of us, kept us safe, you know, all that best. He's a strong leader. And he said, that's why I picked you, because you'll keep the boys together.
Yeah.
While I still, you know, do all the dumb shit that I do.
Which is absolutely true. I mean,
yeah.
When Billy was gone at the beginning of season two, like, Huey was, you know, the pseudo leader or whatever, but really the only person that was like doing anything sensible was MM.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned it multiple times, but he's the most like realistic, down to earth person of the boys. And it was nice to kind of see Billy like give him that recognition, that admiration, that respect
that he deserves. Yeah.
Right. Right. Because MM does a lot for the group. So yeah, that was really nice. I like that. I love MM. He's definitely of the boys. He's probably like my favorite guy.
MM's great.
Yeah.
So after all this like serious talk and everything, now we'll go to the compound. They get in, and they're looking through it. No alarm has gone off yet. There's a mouse in a cage. They see.
No.
No. Mouse. Oh, that's right. Is it? Hold on. It's not a gerbil.
No, it's not.
No, I know what it is, and I can't freaking say it.
MM knows what it is.
Yeah, because I think they call it a mouse. It's a hamster.
Yes.
It's a hamster. Yeah. I was thinking it was something else, but it's a hamster.
But it's funny because they were confused, too. Like, Frenchie was like, oh, what is this gerbil? And MM's like, it's not a gerbil. It's a hamster.
And they're kind of like, okay, who gives a fuck? But he's like, yeah. I've had so many of them.
And it's in this, like, big, like, glass
container.
But then out of nowhere,
it has a gerbil, name.
Jamie, I think.
Yeah, it's a hamster.
Yeah, like it has a name that's like written on the side in Russian. And I don't even remember who translated it, because it was
MM.
Well, I was gonna say, I don't think it was Frenchie, but Frenchie's like normally the guy that like speaks multiple languages and is smart, whatever. But
yeah,
so then all of a sudden this gerbil,
Jamie,
it starts just like zooming around
the whole cage,
right?
Bouncing around,
and then it's like starts like going and hitting the glass, and it's like cracking this glass.
And everyone's like, oh, that's a hamster on V.
Yeah.
So they're definitely in a test lab, and I don't remember what happens, but the alarm goes off, probably because this hamster is going nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And they're looking for this weapon that the
can
Russians
kill
had
Homelander.
That, you know, killed Soldier Boy, that they're going to try to use against Homelander.
Yeah.
So no, they're striking out. Nobody can find it, but really they don't even know what they're looking for either.
No.
So alarm goes off, and a bunch of like soldiers come in. They start shooting at
fight
each other.
Fight ensues, yeah.
Kimiko, like, she holds her own a little bit. She's fighting some dudes. MM, he gets kind of pinned down at one point. Frenchie the same, but
at one point, though, it's really cool. Frenchie's fighting them, and one gets in his way and he's ready to shoot him, and he looks behind the soldier, and there's Jamie floating in the air.
Yes.
And he freaking flies right into the soldier's eyeball and kills him and is eating his face off. And Frenchie's like, thank you, Jamie. Yeah. So it's a pretty funny moment. But yeah, then things are not going well for the boys after this.
Yeah, they kind of are getting overwhelmed and overrun here, because there's just a bunch of dudes shooting at them. And Billy like senses that things are not going their way, and he's got to do something about it. Now, he's obviously on the V-24. Huey knows he's on the V-24, but MM, Frenchie, and Kimiko, they do not know this.
Yeah.
So then Billy just gets up, and I don't remember what he
says. He says, oi, cunts, or something.
Yeah, he says some line to these soldiers and starts walking towards them, and MM is like, no, Butcher, like, what are you doing? And he starts walking, and he's just starting to get shot up, and it's like kind of slow-mo, like all the bullets like bouncing off him, whatever, and MM is kind of like,
confused, whoa. But Billy's got this like evil smile on his face.
Yeah. And he just goes and wrecks.
Starts everybody. Laser beaming everyone.
Yeah.
And then there's a point where he is fighting all these people, but there's one that gets close to MM that he doesn't see.
Right. Right. There's a soldier that's, I think he's like has his gun pointed at the back of MM's head.
Yeah.
And Billy didn't see it, but Huey screams, MM, no. And then all of a sudden,
Huey's clothes are just floating in the air.
Yeah.
And they drop.
And I'm like, whoa, did he just get like, I honestly, when that happened, I was like, did he just get like deleted by another soup or something like that? Like, what the hell just happened? But then literally like a half second later, you see that he has punched this guard. Not only has he punched him,
but through punched him.
Right through him. And so it's like, he's like elbow deep through this guy's chest cavity.
Yep.
And
naked.
And naked. Yeah. And he kind of is just like apologizing to the guy at first. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Typical Huey fashion.
Yeah.
But, you know, he saved MM, so good. But now MM and Frenchie, they're like shocked because they're like, whoa, you guys
took Compound V?
Yeah. Like, what the hell? And then, like, as soon as, like, the initial shock from Huey killing this guy wears off, he's like excited then.
Oh, he's on a high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super high.
And so they do mention that, hey, you took Compound V. And Billy's like, it's V-24, last 24 hours. I took it. I told Huey not to. He must have stole it from my bag.
Right.
And Huey's just still smiling, like, what? You know, like, what'd I do?
I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, my gosh. My bad. You know, so they're all here, but now they're going through. Huey gets dressed again because his junk was right in MM's face. And MM's like, your junk's out.
Yeah.
But they're looking for the weapon again because now it's like easy going. Everybody's dead.
Right.
And there's a big like container, a cylinder container in the middle of the room.
They eyed it up earlier before like the security came, but they didn't like really look at it too hard. But it was clearly there and they were looking at it. But I think it's Billy.
Billy just uses his strength to open the whole thing.
Yeah. Rips the
door
off of this container. And there's just a bunch of smoke in there and whatever. And then he realizes there's a person in there.
I think
he's like looking.
Yeah. It's almost like dry ice smoke. It seems like it's super cold in there.
And he sees this person is in there. They've got like long hair and a beard. And they've got like an oxygen mask on. But Billy recognizes him and says, oh my gosh, it's Soldier Boy.
Yep.
And MM hears him say that. And he's shocked.
He's almost like frozen in place.
Right, right. And I don't know if it was like anger or fear or a little bit of both, or also just kind of shocked because it's like, you know, when Soldier Boy was around, that was in the 80s or something like that, I think it was.
Yeah.
And no one's heard from him because he was presumed dead, that the Russians killed him. So Soldier Boy kind of steps out of this container, takes his oxygen mask off.
Mm-hmm. He's confused.
Right. He doesn't know what's going on. And then I think it's wasn't there like another soldier or something there that pops out or no?
I don't think so.
I thought for some reason he had killed like a soldier, but maybe I'm
no,
remembering it incorrectly.
He's walking around all weird and confused, and then you see his chest start to glow.
Right.
And it seems like he just can't control what's happening, and he's like screaming.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's like right in front of Frenchie or somebody. So Kimiko goes to push that person out of the way. It might have been Huey.
Yeah.
And she goes to push that person out of the way, and she gets hit by this blast from Soldier Boy's chest.
Yeah.
And it knocks her through like three or four walls back. And they're all,
like concrete.
Yeah. And they're all watching him, and he actually just walks out. Yeah, you can see like, what is it called? Rebar, like through all these freaking things.
Right.
But he walks out and leaves. And even, I don't know if it's MM or if it's Butcher, but they say like they did something to him. He's stronger than he was even back then.
Yeah. Well, so Frenchie goes over then to check on Kimiko.
Who has rebar through her
It's like going stomach. Through her stomach. And like she's there just all torn up, But Frenchie realizes that her healing isn't working. He's trying to help her, and she's like bad shape.
He's yelling, "Why isn't she healing? Why isn't she healing?"
Yeah.
And so, like, they're all freaking out. MM goes to get her. And towards the end of this, so you have in the van as they're driving away, MM and Frenchie are in the back trying to keep her alive. Like, yeah. MM's like, "Keep your eyes open. Don't close your eyes. Keep your eyes open." Like, it's a mess back there.
Yeah.
And he even mentions to Billy, like, "You've gone too far this time. Like, this is, I can't keep the group together now."
Yeah.
Relating back to the conversation they had earlier. But Huey is on a freaking high, bro. He's out the window just letting the wind hit him and waving his hand.
And, like, his arm is glowing a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of, like, staring at it. And he's totally oblivious to what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. He was kind of pissed at him.
I was pissing him too, because he doesn't care that Kimiko's dying back
right,
there. Yeah.
Right.
He's just on such a high that he actually is powerful for once in his life that he doesn't care about Kimiko at all, which sucks because Kimiko has saved him how many times?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a mess. And they're still trying to keep her alive. And it kind of fades off of them. And what it fades to is, I don't know if they're at a premiere, at a party, or whatever. Or it might have been like the finale party for the show, I would bet. And Homelander and Starlight are leaving.
Yeah, they're kind of walking out of this venue, and there's a bunch of paparazzi around or whatever. And they're walking out hand in hand or whatever. And Homelander goes, "Hey, I want to fly home. Let's go.
Do you want to see us fly home?"
And she's like, "Oh no, the car's right here. I'm good." And he's like, "No, we're gonna fly home." And he basically like picks her up and zooms off.
Yeah, she okays it because it's like in front of all the cameras. Just, right, she has to look good.
But they fly off, and he's like, I've got a view that I really want you to see.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure he was just going to, like, fly and then just drop her.
To scare the shit out of her.
Yeah, yeah. But he lands on top of a building, and he's like, "Yeah, so take a look at this view." And she looks over, and unfortunately, Supersonic has met his demise.
And he's in many pieces.
Yeah. His arms and legs are ripped off. His head is gone, and he's just bloodied up in the corner. And Starlight is just like, really, like, "Holy shit!" And she says, like, "Alex, oh my gosh!" And Homelander basically tells her, like, "I told you, you know what was? I warned you what was going to happen. Like, if you tried to cross me, A-Train told me about you and Supersonic's little mutiny."
Freaking A-Train.
Yeah, I really thought when Supersonic was bringing him into the fold that this was going to be a good moment for A-Train, and clearly it was not.
No.
He went back to Homelander even after chose the deep instead of him, even after he basically was like pissed off at Homelander. How many times does they have to go back to Homelander just to, you know, be cast aside?
I know.
But essentially, Homelander lets him know and says, or lets Starlight know, says, "I want you to know that if you step out of line at all for any little thing moving forward here, that will be Huey." And she's just sitting there crying her eyes out.
And he goes, I want you to say it.
"That'll be Huey." And she says, "That will be Huey."
Yep.
And so.
And he tells her, "You find your own way home."
Yeah. Yeah. Left her on top of his building, just flew off.
Yeah. Can you imagine if somebody like sees her up there and then finds that body, they would think it's her. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Well, I'm assuming, you know, she's probably going to call somebody at Vault and get a cleanup crew.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But yeah, totally fucked up.
Wild.
And we never even really got to see like Supersonic
do his thing.
Yeah. He was literally just there as a
body to get killed.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, I felt really bad for him when I saw this first and second time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't remember when he died. I do remember that he did die. So when they went up to he's like, "I got a view for you." I forgot. I didn't know what he was trying to show. And then when like they point over, I was like, "Oh my God, that's right." So yeah, for some reason I thought he was in the show, this episode, the season longer. And he's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if A-Train mentioned Maeve or not.
I don't know. Because, well, I don't know that.
He knows that Maeve.
Yeah, I don't know that Starlight told Supersonic about Maeve. Because I think at one point, even earlier in the episode, when she was like, or maybe it was the last episode, when she was like bringing him on board, she kind of did mention something along the lines of like, the less you know, the better.
Yeah.
So she probably didn't bring him in on that. But in reality, it doesn't matter that A-Train knows about Maeve or not, because the Deep does.
Yeah.
So that's bad. And it was stupid of Maeve to get the Deep involved in this, but like, he was the only one that could have gotten
that, you know, footage. Yeah.
Right. But now it's kind of just like there's a loose end there that could come back to bite them.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. It's just a wild ending. I felt so bad. You got Kimiko possibly dying. It's...
Yeah. I'm wondering, too, like, whatever blast that Soldier Boy hit her with, like...
It took away her powers.
Like, fully... Like, so I'm wondering here, then, like, is the weapon that they used to kill Soldier Boy something that they just, like, integrated into him now?
Right.
Is... clearly... he's the weapon that they're looking for.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like, what did they do? Did they alter Compound V somehow and, like, give him, like, a super dose? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens moving forward. And I'm excited. It was really, really hard for me to not watch the next episode.
I know. It's really hard because now Jensen Ackles in it.
I'm indifferent to Jensen Ackles.
Oh, you'll love him. He's great in this. He's actually... So here's one thing I'll say coming up. It's really hard for me to watch anything with Jensen Ackles in it and not compare him to Dean Winchester, who he played in Supernatural. So I will say he did such a good job in this show because I saw him as Soldier Boy. I didn't see him as Dean, who I watched for, what, 15 years.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, he plays Soldier Boy very well. You'll like Soldier Boy.
I hope so. I hope he's not going to be just like another bad guy. Because at least with Payback, they might have been bumbling idiots or whatever. But the little bits that we've seen of them, they didn't seem like they were bad people necessarily.
Yeah.
I shouldn't get my hopes up.
Yeah, he worked for Vault, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's not that great, but the character's great. He's just not a good person.
Well, that is it for this episode. We will definitely see you guys next week, and we'll be cruising on our way to the last four episodes here. I feel like every season that goes by, it goes quicker and quicker.
Yeah.
And then when we get to the point where season four is airing week to week, like, I'm going to be still happy that we're watching it, but then after that it's like I've got nothing
now what?
To watch.
Now
I gotta wait for season five whenever that comes out.
That'll be an end of an era
too. It will be. Yeah,
we'll be sad.
Yeah, a little bit. But hopefully you guys are watching along with us, and let us know if you're excited for season four. We still have yet to watch the trailer for season four.
I've not seen it.
I'm excited to see where things go with that. I'm also very excited to watch Gen V when we're done here with season three.
Me too.
Because I feel like it's, from what I've been told, it's a different show than The Boys, but still very good.
Same. And it connects somehow. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty, folks. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace out.